Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. Apropos all things cinematic, we are going to talk about the White River Indie Festival, and there is some familial interest there too. Hello, Dr. Sterrett.
Well, hello there, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I am well. Thank you very much.
Good,
and I'm
good.
Excited for the topic.
Well, good. Yeah, this is something, I mean, for full disclosure here, I am not totally a neutral observer. The White River Indie Festival takes place in White River Junction, Vermont. And my son Craig is currently the president of the board, and I'm on the selection committee. So I helped us to choose the movies that are in the festival. But that said, I'm not so much talking about the festival itself this week, although I am certainly doing that, but just about some of the films that are in the festival. I have to emphasize that the festival is online, so you don't have to be in Vermont, you don't have to be in New England, you can be anywhere you want, at least within the United States, and you can partake of movies that I'm going to mention now, and I won't have time to mention them all, so there are plenty of movies that one can get and just do a Google search for the White River Indie Festival, and you know, you'll find some terrific stuff to look at. It runs from May 21st, which is now, to May 30th. And there's a whole lot of really, really good, interesting stuff. Of course, the White River Indie Festival is a regional festival. You know, it's not one of the huge international ones like the New York Film Festival, where I also was on the selection committee of that for many years ago at Lincoln Center, or the Toronto Festival or the Moscow Festival. There's festivals all over the place. And of course, during the period of the pandemic, many of them have been still operating, but online. And what's happening with the White River Festival is that it's now this year, it's going to be a combination, a sort of a hybrid. It is having some live events where you can actually go and see a movie, but mostly it is online. And again, the great advantage to that is that it makes the selections available to people everywhere. And even though this is a regional festival, my gosh, it has such a broad selection of films in different categories, some of which are documentary and films by and about women and LGBTQ films and world cinema and regional cinema. So a whole lot of variety of things that, again, that people can check out very easily by just do a Google search and find it and start getting your tickets. So it's a very, very varied festival. It's not a huge festival in terms of the number of films, but oh my gosh, there's just some fascinating stuff and stuff that is never going to be in your local multiplex, folks. So that's the great advantage to film festivals, is they don't have the same kinds of commercial, we've got to sell as many tickets as possible pressures that regular movie theaters have. And that's, anyway, I've been a big champion of film festivals for many years, and I certainly support this one. So I want to talk just about a few of the movies in it that, again, people might be interested in checking out because they're really interesting. The opening film is a movie called For the Love of Rutland, and it is by Jennifer Maderina Taylor, and it is about the town of Rutland, Vermont. And it is not a celebration of a tourist attraction here. Rutland is a town that has been hit very, very hard by drug problems and just all the problems that so many places nowadays are prey to. And this is a very no-nonsense, no-holds-barred portrait of the town. It focuses largely, not entirely, but largely on a woman named Stacy Griffin, and she lives in a very tough neighborhood in Rutland. And it follows almost 3 years in her life, and it also deals with the mayor of the town and various other people in the town who represent different points of view on the town, different points of view on the problems that are there. And I found this just a fascinating movie. And again, even though it's about one town, Rutland, Vermont, it is the kinds of things that this movie explores explores intelligently are going on in towns all over America and beyond. And it's quite a marvelous film. And it's just wonderful that this regional festival can have a regional film by and about a Vermont town, but that just deals with issues that are so broad and so widespread. Now, I want to mention another movie, which also deals with social issues, but in such a different way, a movie called Her Socialist Smile, which is by another New England filmmaker, John Gianvito, and it is about Helen Keller. And Helen Keller, of course, for anybody who may not be familiar with that name, she was a woman who was deaf and blind and yet became an enormously important and influential and inspiring public figure because she just overcame her disabilities so amazingly well, becoming an internationally famous person with doing a whole lot of things that not only for the disability rights community of the earlier part of the 20th century, but in other areas too. And one of the things that Keller did, and this is something that is not really reminded about her, remembered about her so much, but she was very much a vocal champion of left-wing causes. She was for pacifism. She was for women's suffrage before women had the vote. She was for the rights of workers. And that is what this movie focuses on, the socialist side of her personality. And it shows how her fighting for these various causes of hers, mostly left-wing causes, were completely entwined with her battles for disability rights. So, again, a remarkable person, and this is a very unusual film. John Gianvito is sort of an experimental type filmmaker in some ways, and a lot of Her Socialist Smile involves text on the screen that we read. Now, this is partly because Helen Keller was herself a very prolific writer as well as a speaker and so forth, but she didn't have images at her disposal because she was blind. And she didn't have spoken words at her disposal because she was deaf, at least not at her disposal in the way that most of us do, who have those senses and those abilities. So Gianvito has fascinatingly opted to have a lot of things on the screen for us to read. And so anyway, it's an unusual approach to telling this story, and it's quite a remarkable story. And it's a fascinating look at Helen Keller, who I think that is a very inspiring figure who maybe we don't remember enough, and some people are probably not familiar with her work at all, and this is a terrific way to get acquainted with what she stood for. Now, another movie, which I want to mention, now we get into the really international part of the festival, is a movie called Stray, which has been around for a little while already, but I'm delighted that the festival is featuring it. Made by a filmmaker named Elizabeth Lowe, and it deals with Turkey, and it deals with... The title Stray refers to two of the main characters who are dogs. There are a couple of dogs who live on the streets of the city, the Turkish city. And this movie is very much, large parts of it, sort of dog's eye view. The camera is low down on the pavement, kind of capturing the city from the dogs, or maybe I should say dog's nose view. But also the secondary characters in the movie, if the dogs are the main characters, are some young Syrian refugees who are also living on the streets of the city. So we have these kind of outcasts, these people who don't fit into the general social fabric, these dogs and these kids. And we see how they survive and how they even prosper in their own way. The kids, unfortunately, are very much involved with drugs, and that's another sort of a theme that is running through the film. It's a very cautionary film in that way. And amazingly, this movie, which deals with the outcasts, with those who are kind of living on the streets, who don't have any advantages that most of us think of as advantages, the movie manages to be upbeat and charming in its own way without, however, whitewashing the plights, especially of the children. So a remarkable movie, Stray, and I'm just delighted that it's in the festival, and I think that everybody should see it. It's a terrific movie. Here's another film I want to mention, a movie called You Will Die at 20. This comes from a part of the world where films virtually never come to commercial movie theaters in the United States from Sudan. And here we have a movie which is actually the first time that Sudan has had a movie which is submitted to the United States Academy Awards. Didn't get any awards, didn't get into the final run, but Sudan not only made a movie, and it's a very, very fine movie, but it actually sort of was in its own small way in contention with the Oscars this year, and it also won a big prize at the Venice Film Festival earlier. You Will Die at 20, made by Abjad Abu Alalal, is about a woman where when her child is born, a local mystic, a local religious figure, predicts that this child will grow up to be 20 years old and will then die. So what are the mother and the son going to do about this? And the movie is very much a meditation on the religious feelings that they have that leads them to believe this prophecy. It may be just superstition. And it certainly means that they've got to think about sort of day-to-day life, because they're not sure at all whether this young person, who does grow up to be 20 in the movie, I'll give that much of a spoiler, will survive beyond that. So it's a fascinating movie that deals with universal issues, I would say, about belief and fate and destiny, and how belief in fate and destiny can affect our lives. And it does this in a very dramatic fashion and a beautifully filmed fashion. There's nothing remotely primitive about this movie. A terrific looking movie. And the same thing goes for a film from Nigeria, which is in the White River Indie Festival. A movie called I Am Ofe. It also has an English language title, This Is My Desire, directed by a couple of filmmakers known as Ari and Chuko. And it tells two separate, somewhat interwoven stories about a factory worker and a hairdresser and bartender, a man and a woman. And they are getting through city life while dreaming of what they hope will be, ultimately, better lives for them elsewhere. They both want to get out of Nigeria. One of them wants to go to Spain. The other one wants to go to Italy. And it's about their desires to raise their positions on the socioeconomic ladder and about the difficulties that they run to along the way. Again, a fascinating movie. And here we have this regional film festival in Vermont presenting these marvelous movies, international movies from all over the place. One more I want to mention on the international scene, a movie called Bait, B-A-I-T. From the United Kingdom, made by one Mark Jenkin in Cornwall, the English Cornish coast. And here we have a movie about a couple of brothers who live in this fishing village on the Cornish coast. And the fishing village is being gentrified. Tourists are moving in, and they are changing everything. And in the view of a lot of people, not changing things for the better. It's that old problem of gentrification. Yes, they're bringing in money. Yes, they're bringing in activity. Yes, they're bringing in economic growth in certain ways, but they're also destroying the atmosphere of the town. And one of these brothers really resents this and wants to just keep on with the fishing business. The other one decides, hey, there's an opportunity here, and starts running his boat for tourists. And whatnot. And so obviously conflicts arise. This movie has been hailed in England as a true masterpiece. I'm not convinced it's a true masterpiece, but it's a really, really interesting film made in a very unusual way. It's made to look like a very, very old movie, even though it's not. It's a very, very new movie. And it's made to have the sort of hardscrabble look of the lives of many of the people in this fishing community. And that's one of the very interesting things about this. And I want to mention that the White River Indie Festival also has quite a number of short films, one of which is by the same filmmaker who made Bait, Mark Jenkin. And this is about a young Cornish poet who finds an old briefcase, which mysteriously, even though it's an old battered up briefcase she's never seen before, seems to have her initials on it. And there appears to be a poem inside. And she is a poet. And so she starts investigating this. And again, it's a very experimental, poetic film and a short film, but a really, really interesting one. So there are not only feature-length movies in the festival, there are short movies, some of which are just as impressive as any of the feature-length movies. And I'll mention one more movie, a movie by a filmmaker named Jonathan Wysocki, which is called Dramarama. And here we have a movie now which gets into a gay area, which the movie also has some LGBTQ movies in it, the festival does, and some of them are quite interesting. Dramarama takes place back in the 90s, and it centers on a group of Christian kids, and they're pretty conservative, and they're all interested in drama, and they're going to be heading off for college soon, and they get together because they love drama. That's the title of the movie, Dramarama. They get together for a dress-up party, and they're going to have fun, and one of the kids at the party is a boy named Gene, who wants to tell his friends that he's gay. He wants to come out, but he can't quite muster the courage to do it. He can't quite muster the knowledge of how he ought to do this. And that's what the film is about. So it's a very human film, a very quiet movie, and it deals in interesting ways with the predicaments of what it was like to be gay back in the 90s and to want to come out. And the same lessons, of course, can apply very much now. So it's an interesting, modest little film that deals with a very, very apropos topic. There are also at the festival some sessions which you can also get online with various experts and authorities who will be speaking about the movies. For example, those two African movies, You Will Die at 20 and I Am Ofe, there are going to be a couple of African and African-American studies professor who will have a panel discussion about contemporary African cinema as part of the festival. I will be having an online dialogue with John Gianvito, who directed Her Socialist Smile. So there's all kinds of stuff going on, and I have to stress one more time, if you're up there near White River, by all means, go, for example, to the outdoors opening night screening of For the Love of Rutland. But if you're nowhere near Vermont, definitely check it out online. There's just terrific stuff that you can get very easily, and it's an interesting, varied, and just smartly programmed festival, the White River Indie Festival. I salute it. And that is my festive story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the topic, the White River Indie Festival. And we are going to assume that the selection committee's interests do not fall far from the tree.